Here's Higdon. It sits up nicely for Michael Higdon. And what a start for Motherwell. But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Son. Magnificent Malt. Stephen Robinson celebrates. Motherwell, 2-1. Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr. And Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the NFC podcast. They say a week's a long time in football. Well, the 2 weeks since we last recorded certainly have been a long time. It's a story of a win, a loss and a draw. The most recent result, a fantastic 2-0 victory over Hibs. Though if we had recorded a week ago following the 4-0, the 3-0 defeat, it wasn't as bad as I'm making out. The 3-0 defeat against St Johnstone, I think the mood certainly would be somewhat different. I'm joined by Andy P and Pepe. Guys, welcome along.
How are you doing?
What are you, Andy?
Not bad at all. Pepe, I will start with yourself. And we're just on the back of a brilliant 2-0 victory at Easter Road. So unexpected. Everything that's been lacking from the previous two or three performances, albeit someone in the midweek, and we'll talk about that in more detail as we go along, but that had been a slight improvement on what we had seen in the previous two games, though it would have been hard to get any worse than that. Suddenly we were playing confident attacking football, and we took the game to Hibs. Hibs were taken aback by how high we pressed them, and we got a result that we thoroughly deserved. 3 points, and I can't fathom this team at all. We seem to go from absolutely brutal to brilliant at times, or suddenly are able to dig out a result when it looks like all is lost. This isn't a team that are very easy to read, is it?
No, that's the thing. The thing that really surprises me is the due to injuries and the size of the squad, it's virtually quite a consistent starting 11. So there's not been wholesale changes, which when you read the team again in Saturday, you were like, oh, right, okay, grin with not so much confidence. I think that's what makes the Saturday so much difference. And I don't know about you guys, but what a difference it made to my weekend. I mean, it's been bloody Halloween for the last time that we were able to enjoy a victory on a Saturday, and it just made the whole weekend with the monotony of what we're in at the moment so much better. And you just, as I've said before, we kind of structure our weeks round about when the football is, and to get that level of performance was great. As you say, I mean, if you go look back to the performance against St Johnstone, shocking, really really poor. Off the back of getting humped at home to Hamilton, I mean, the only way it was down for the majority is, but it was just everything clicked into place against Hibs. They couldn't deal with the way they were pressing. I think another bright spark was the introduction of Stevie Kirk on the stream. So it was just like almost like the perfect Saturday football for me. It was the first time that I can say I thoroughly enjoyed the full 90 minutes. Obviously, near the end, Liam Kelly came in and made some amazing saves, and I was talking to my big mate, Big Jaffa. He said a valid point I never really thought of. He said he thinks that the save of Liam Kelly was really, really pivotal in keeping us winning the game. 2-1, Motherwell, the type of team where Hibs could have come back in and getting a draw, and a draw would have actually felt like a defeat, having been so dominant. So Liam Kelly's contribution was great, but the one that really has surprised me has been Robbie Crawford the last two games. I think he's been great. Without saying what he's really good at. He's just quite a tidy player, and he would be the first one that I would always say, all right, get him off. But over the last two games, I would actually say that he's been more influential in the middle of the park than Alan Campbell has. Now, whether that's because Alan Campbell's been back in the side for the last two games is probably a factor in it. But overall, what a change in a team. But again, that brings the fear factor. You don't know what's coming next. We've got another game against Livingston, which I'm sure we'll talk about, which is another winnable game. So again, you've got to start looking up away from down the bottom. I think if we had this podcast to get after the St Johnstone defeat, I think a lot of us would have been concerned about relegation in the playoffs, whereas I think that's eased considerably. And just one other player he mentioned that we've not spoke about really is Jordan Roberts. I don't think he's a world beater. I think he certainly surprised me. He was an underwhelming signing. The Hearts fans seem to not rate him very much, and sometimes we take that into consideration too much. He never really, as we've described before, his Wikipedia didn't fill you with confidence, but not many players that we sign do. But what I think made the difference with him is that they're tracking back, so he'll pick up the ball in the middle of the park because he's looking back the way to come into positions that a kind of attacking midfielder would. Whereas if Chris Long's playing that position, he's looking at where the attacker should be. And I think that's what the main difference is, because it's linking up the forwards with the midfield, which takes the pressure off it. And I just think it worked a lot better. Now, that's not a slight on Chris Long, because I still really like Chris Long. But I would just like to see him, if the opportunity arises, that he does play through the middle, but he'll not get anywhere near it at the moment. But nothing but positives to say about Saturday. And as I said at the start, the best bit is that it was really unexpected, which made it even more enjoyable.
Certainly a lot of good points covered there, Andy, and Pepe's made my life a lot easier in terms of asking any questions, because he basically answered everything with a pretty good summary of the performance, individual performance.
It's nice of me leaving me with the St Johnstone game.
Well, I'm going to stick with Hibs. And just to answer your point about the improving your Saturday, it was the most enjoyable episode of Catchphrase I've watched in some time on Saturday night, because the spirits were just that high. I was basically raving to the theme tune. That was that nearly scraped me off the ceiling. The points that Pepe made about individual performances, Andy, they're all very, very valid. But I think for the first time in so long, it was a full team performance as well. It was mentioned on the commentary that there was nobody in claret and amber that didn't get pass marks. It was pleasing to see. There's guys that have come under a fair bit of scrutiny and a fair bit of criticism over the course of the season. A case in point being Ricky Lamy, who I think we would all confess we've not been very complimentary of him. And I think that's basically because his performances haven't been very good since arriving from Livingston in the summer. But it was an excellent performance from Ricky Lamy on Saturday. Nathan McGinley came off the bench as well after a really, really sore one that Jake Carroll took. He landed square in his face. He came on and Martin Boyle barely got a sniff. Nathan McGinley dealt with him tremendously well. So guys that perhaps haven't been performing or haven't been given their opportunities, they really stepped up as well on Saturday. Robbie Crawford, another one that Pepe mentioned, a guy that divides opinion, certainly. I think that, again, most of us would say he's maybe tidy enough, but I don't think he brings much positive to the team at times. But certainly he's really upped his game in the last couple of weeks, or the last couple of games anyway. So success stories all over the park, and a team playing as a team as well, which really kind of eradicates the need to go through each player individually or pointing out that seven or eight aren't performing. To see all 11 plus the subs play so well, it was just a delight. It was so unexpected, and it was such a pleasant surprise.
I think you need to go back a wee bit further to the We didn't get the same outcome. We didn't get the same level of performance. But I think we did get the same level of commitment in Paisley. And that in itself was a pleasant surprise in some respects in comparison to the St Johnstone game that came before. And when you kind of look back at the kind of last four games, it's as you alluded to right at the start, it's difficult to comprehend. And I didn't see the Hamilton result coming, given how we'd been playing beforehand. And I certainly didn't see the kind of immediate return to form with 4 points for six for two difficult away games immediately following Accies and St Johnstone. So, I mean, you really have to give immense credit to the management and the players. I don't think it's been overly dramatic. I felt we were clearly a better position than those underneath us in the table. But weaker teams with lesser mentalities, with lesser abilities, on the back of those two results, could quite easily have panicked and things could have went off the rails quite quickly in an even more rapid descent down the table. But to stem that in the manner that they did, it's excellent, really, more than I think we could have dared hope for in the back of those two games. So, as you say, credit to all concerned, management and players alike, for turning that around. And it was important as well that Alexander, once we got the draw in Paisley, that very quickly afterwards he was kind of setting the stall out that now you've delivered that kind of element of performance that's your base level. There can be no dropping below that, and you can't say that they didn't act in everything they said when we went to Easter Road on Saturday. So, having been at that stage where you couldn't see the next game far enough, suddenly it was like Saturday evening, it's like, I wish we'd a midweek game coming up, just to kind of keep the momentum going. So, it's a bit of a pain that we need to wait another week or so to build on this. And you can see the change in everybody's mood. Everybody's eager for the next fixture coming along now. We're waiting to see if we can build on this. Suddenly we look as if we've got all these players that we were talking about, that we were playing a second string and with 17 players, 18 players out. Suddenly you're looking and thinking, well, is he going to get back in now that he's fit? And given the way that some of the guys that you've mentioned have stepped up. So we look forward with a wee bit more anticipation now rather than dread. Certainly not done and dusty completely. Can't be any complacency whatsoever going forward, but it's a much healthier table now than we would have dared hope it could have looked like after St Johnstone.
Final one on Hibs, Pepe. And that, I think I've mentioned that we maybe shouldn't be signalling out individuals for praise and in terms of their performance. But Jordan Roberts, for me, put in a man of the match display on Saturday. And there's a fair bit of humble pie here, because only 5-10 minutes into the match, I was commenting about how I felt he was quite negative when he's on the ball. He looked a wee bit reluctant to go at his man. I wasn't sure whether he was going to do for us. And I guess, given his background, coming in on loan from Hearts, who, of course, are in the Championship, he's not been playing regularly. I guess as a winger, your confidence is going to be down automatically due to those circumstances. Now, as the game went on, his link-up play was excellent. And I think a fair bit of that's owed to the work of Tony Watt and Devante Cole as well, who are very good at bringing others into the game. And you can see that with the pass from Tony Watt for the opening goal. And his brilliant flick-on header as well to Roberts, who teed up Devante Cole for the second. But all in all, it was a performance that developed over the 90 minutes. You could see him inside. The expression on his face, you could tell that he was enjoying his football. And with that came up a bit of confidence, a bit of flair, a bit of spark in front of goal when he was released by Tony Watt. a very good performance. And if we can get performances like that out of Jordan Roberts, he's a player that Graeme Alexander may consider worth keeping a hold of. Didn't seem to be in the picture at Hearts. They've loaned him out. If you could grab this opportunity with both hands, it looks like we've got a player in our hands.
Certainly, as I said, he really did link up the midfield to the forward line, in my opinion. His work rate was brilliant, and I think that's what was good about particularly him, Tony Watt, and leaving Cole further forward. The two of them kind of drift back, and I think it's working. I'm really surprised that I don't think there was many Motherwell fans that can say that's a great signing. And yes, he's only, let's not get too carried away. I thought he was all right against St Mirren, and he was a candidate for the man of the match amongst probably 7 or 8 of them on Saturday. His finish, composure, kind of speed, he just looked, again, it's going back to what I said at the start, total surprise. I think whether or not the negativity that you read on Twitter and Steelman Online or even just talking amongst ourselves, I think you've always got that negative perception of players, and as soon as they don't put one in at the top corner in the first 5 minutes, you write them off. So I tend to be the same as you. I didn't think that he had that performance in him, and I hope that he just continues to bring it on. This might be Jordan Roberts, he finds his feet at our club and goes on to have a great finish to the season and steer us away for relegation. As I said, let's not get too carried away. It's only been, I don't think that the St Mirren performance was certainly going in the right way now, and I really, it's his place, he's won his place, it's his to keep, so we just need to wait and see how he progresses for the rest of the season.
Andy, you did preempt the fact that I was going to talk to you about the St Johnstone game. It's easier to go back and look at a game where there was goals and a fair bit of talking points, albeit there was, most of them were negative. In fact, I would say all of them were negative. We'll maybe brush over the St Mirren game, given the fact there wasn't a great deal happened on that night. But the 3-0 defeat at home to St Johnstone, it's incredible to say, and a week after a 4-1 home defeat to Hamilton Accies. But somehow we managed to reach the lows that we did on that afternoon and turn it into the same type of performance against Saints. From the off, we were very much second best. There was a wee bit of controversy with their second goal. There was a clear offside in the build-up. But overall, it's one that we'll not be able to argue with looking back on. And Saints thoroughly deserved their victory. We were second best. We applied ourselves very poorly to the game. It was hugely disappointing to see after the disappointment of the week prior, and also the sound bites coming out of the club that we would have to respond, there would be a reaction, that we wouldn't let the heads drop. It kind of seemed the opposite happened really over the course of the 90 minutes. And possibly the only thing that we can be thankful for is it wasn't more than 3.
Yeah, it was pretty awful. The results since have kind of eased the kind of anger of the time. There's no point in putting it any other way. It was fairly incandescent with the way that it panned out that day. And what was it? Something, was it 21 or 22 efforts in goal? We kind of conceded our efforts at goal. I'm not sure if that includes those in target. I think we had one. And that was a team that, you know, for all their good form that they were on, for all they had a League Cup final to look forward to a few days later. You know, had we won that game, I think we would have overtaken them, with the potential to overtake them, and to kind of allow a team to come and so utterly, completely dominate you was just, it was so worrying. And on the back of Hamilton, I think that's why so many people were extremely worried as to what might transpire. But fortunately, we've kind of overcome the immediate issues there, and it's one that we can put behind us. Clearly, we got the reaction that we had hoped for post Hamilton. It just took an extra game to come, but you know, it's up there with anything, any of the worst games of the season, unquestionably for me.
Pepe, I suppose that now the over a week's passed since then, we've taken 4 points from 2 away games. St Johnston went on to Hampden and lifted the Betfred Cup, so perhaps we got St Johnston at a bad time and they were full of confidence. We of course had a number of injury problems, but I don't think that can be held up as a strong enough excuse for the performance that the team put in. The second half, and I'm reluctant to single out an individual, but the foul for the penalty from Liam Polworth, it kind of just epitomised the performance of the team. It was lazy, it was cumbersome, and it just almost looked defeatist in the way he carried out the challenge. He never looked like he was going to get the ball. He didn't get the ball. The hands go up almost in a half-hearted apology rather than a "I didn't touch him, ref" type of thing. And it was just it was so difficult to watch. I think that's maybe one of the reasons why we get such a lift from the victory at Hibs, because we had suffered for the last two Saturdays. And quite often, I've pointed out this season that I don't think that I do suffer too much from the football just now. I do still feel a wee bit disconnected from it, perhaps just because of the circumstances that we find ourselves in this season. But the St Johnston game felt like a real kick in the teeth, because we were led to believe that the players were hurting just as much as the fans, which I always think there's a fair degree of bullshit in anyway, to be honest with you. But the reaction from those in claret and amber in that game, which was still fairly significant in terms of, not only would it have pulled us away from relegation trouble, it would have also kept us in the mix for top six, which is pretty ludicrous when you talk about it. But that was the reality of the situation. We had, by winning the games in the midweek at Ross County against Dundee United and against Kilmarnock, we had made our way back into contention. So it was a significant game in many aspects, and we just didn't turn up.
No, certainly a few points there that for St Johnston that I took for it. I'll start with kind of Liam Polworth. For me, that's twice in a month that Polworth slipped the side down. His temperament for the sending off against Aberdeen could have been looked at as a one-off, but the penalty to me just looked as if he couldn't be arsed anymore and just decided, you know what, I don't care if it's a penalty, and bang, there we go. So whether or not he'll feature much, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't feature much to the end of the season. I think he's a decent player. He's a decent player to have in the squad at the moment, but maybe his time's run its course with Motherwell. Couple of points just with St Johnston. One of the players that we've no mentioned is actually Tyler McGlower. I think that against St Johnston, and the short time that he was on against Hamilton, kind of gave me a bit of the fear. And he's one of the ones that's really surprised me. Particularly his performances, obviously, against St Mirren and the victory against Hibs. He seems to have got a bit more confidence to clean sheets. Seemed to link quite well with Ricky Lamy. And he certainly has showed us that he has got a wee bit of pace to burn, which is really good. The St Johnston game, a lot of the fans said the only positive that they took for it was Max Johnson. A lot of them were saying that they wouldn't have dropped him in favour of Stephen O'Donnell. But for me, I think Stephen O'Donnell's experience has shown why he's back into the side. I don't think you can leave a player Stephen O'Donnell out. Yes, he doesn't say it the heather alight, but right back in the world does, other than coming up and rattling free kicks in and stuff like, he's not Trent Alexander-Arnold or anything like that, but he's a steady, experienced right back who will talk the younger guys through, like Tyler McGlure. I think Stephen O'Donnell has been pivotal, and I thought Max Johnson did all right, but I think he would have put extra pressure on the likes of Tyler McGlure and Ricky Lamy, because they were going to try and protect him. So for anybody to suggest that Stephen O'Donnell shouldn't have come back in, I totally disagreed with him. I've seen quite a lot of fans saying it was a disgrace, it had been dropped. Now, Stephen O'Donnell obviously had the press conference where he said there was no dramas and stuff like that, and a lot of fans weren't pleased with that, but I think it was just his terminology that he used. What he was meaning was they weren't going to panic, and he should maybe have thought about what he was saying, because as you've already alluded to, it's one of the worst performances, getting beat. I mean, that was two games that we'd watched, and we were getting beat 7-1 at home off of two teams that you would look at the start of the season and say we should be winning them at home, and he's saying things like no dramas as if it doesn't matter to him. I just think it was his choice of language which was wrong, and what he should have said was, we're not going to panic, it's really important, but if we don't win, we still think we're good enough. And I think that would have maybe not given him as much negative press as what he got for the fans. But I think the St Johnstone game has shown us that we had a big step to go. And when we got to St Mirren, which we've obviously we're not going to get into too much, there was slight improvements, but I was still really fearful for getting into Hibs, and it just shows you that maybe that hard work and whatever Graham Alexander's doing, and when he's not getting sent off, is hopefully going to start paying off.
Yeah, that's a talking point as well for a bit later on in this episode, in terms of the manager and his ever increasing problems with referees in Scotland. But the point on Stephen O'Donnell's press conference, Andy, that's a really interesting one, and I must confess, on the back of a 7-1 aggregate defeat to St Johnstone and Hamilton Accies at home, the phrase "no dramas" certainly wasn't one that I wanted to be hearing coming out of our park. Stephen O'Donnell's longer interview on the club Twitter page and on the YouTube channel certainly gave a lot more context to the interview, though. Just a wee bit unfortunate that line in particular was picked up upon. And then in terms of O'Donnell coming straight back into the squad, for me, I don't think there was any other option. Max Johnson may have a fantastic future ahead of him. He certainly seems very highly rated by the coaching staff at Motherwell, though he's still very, very inexperienced, and to throw him into the heat of a battle when the team are in a relegation fight, it seemed unnecessary when you've got a Scottish internationalist there waiting to come back in, regardless of the fact that he had obviously been dismissed in the derby, received a very costly sending off in that match. But I think the right decision was made to bring Stephen O'Donnell back. And he possibly has left Graham Alexander feeling rather vindicated by that, with his performances against both St Mirren and Hibs.
There's going to be a time and a place where you want to introduce your youngsters, you know, such as Max Johnson. I think the current situation as it was, he was in there through necessity, obviously with the kind of injuries that we had and the suspensions of Stephen O'Donnell. I think you'll benefit from that experience. I think in an ideal world, it's been said before that managers will prefer to kind of put youngsters in there. You'll introduce them gradually. And the kind of current position as we were in isn't really one that you want to kind of persist unless your hand is forced. There's always going to be the argument that, well, they can't be any worse than what you've seen beforehand. But I think it was it's fairly cut and dried. If you've got a Scottish international defender there that's fit and available for you, then you're going to put him back in the team over a largely untested whilst promising young player at this point in the season.
Let's briefly look at the St Mirren game. As I've already alluded to, it wasn't a game of many talking points. It was, though, Andy, a hard-fought point. And again, I think the performance levels were much better. And in another day, had the luck been a bit more in, then we would have got the 3 points. There was Devante Cole's effort that came off the post, that very strong shout for a penalty as well. The referee telling Tony Watt that if he had went down, he would have got it. So a wee bit of the Andy Walkers involved in there, that denied as a penalty. Overall, though, a good point against the St Mirren side, who, while I've not been impressed by them any time I've seen them, they've went well this season. They look like they'll go on and claim a place in the top six. I think when you're looking back, a point in Paisley, certainly not the worst result, and it gave us a wee bit of a grounding to then build upon, and we've clearly done that going into the game at Easter Road by taking the 3 points. As I said, there's not been much in these games, all three games against St Mirren this season.
Well, I was just going to say exactly that. We were pretty much within 48 hours of Alexander taking over. We went to Paisley and we were unfortunate enough only to come away with a point that afternoon. And you know, as you say again, the game at Fir Park, they get the goal, but you know, I felt we were worthy of a draw at least that day. So whilst we were in bad form, we would be fairly recent experience of going there. It was only a matter of weeks ago that we went and got a point, and you know, they certainly shouldn't be going to Paisley and being, you know, overawed by any manner of means. What kind of really encouraged me, and I know St Mirren fans and officials tend to have a very high opinion of themselves anyway, was beforehand they were, you know, I was reading things on Twitter and they said, look, I can only see one outcome here. You know, we're looking at full strength. You know, there's only going to be one winner, and you know, the only team that looked as if genuinely they were going to win it in the evening was Motherwell. So again, that was encouraging. If as you say there, that's a team that looks set for a top half place, and you know, we certainly didn't look miles behind them. You know, you can take some encouragement from that. So good to be happy with the kind of point that stemmed the tide. As you said again, that we might well have won it in another day if we'd a wee bit of luck had kind of gone our way. And again, it just illustrated the kind of commitment and the desire to get the job done in the evening. You know, the type of conditions that it was played in, and you know, you're looking there and you could quite easily think, nah, this isn't quite for me, we're not doing too well. But no, it was good. It was good. Hard fought point. It could have been more, and it proved to be that it set us up nicely for, you know, the game at Easter Road at the weekend.
It was a game that was played at a fair degree of ferocity, but towards the end as well, when the heavens just open up, it's one of these nights where even just a wee slip or an individual error, a short pass would have stuck to the turf. It's a game kind of a small margins, and I guess that's something that we can possibly look back on as well, that we were able to grind it out. And when you look at the fight or the desire within the team in the two games prior to going to Paisley, it was certainly a welcome change. And while you've already said that you still didn't have much hope going into the game against Hibs, it gave us a wee bit of encouragement that things weren't going to be shite as they were in the for the rest of the season, because by the time the full-time whistle had went against St Johnston, I'd have been quite happy never seen us play again.
I think the only thing that really pissed me off a wee bit was the fact that we seemed to kind of come to this conclusion that's the draw it stopped, and I thought we're kind of celebrating another each draw with St Mirren. I think we're getting a wee bit ahead of ourselves that this is everything's so cool in the gang again. But at the end of the day, all you can say is that there was improvements. And there was an improvement for St Johnston in Hamilton. And we were really unlucky that we didn't get the 3 points. I mean, as Andy said there, if anybody was going to win that game, it was Motherwell. But Devante Cole hits the post. I just don't understand why more's not been made of this situation with Tony Watt with the penalty. If the referee's saying it's a foul, why is the referee not getting penalised for that? Did he say it? I mean, it's an absolute joke. We just seem to be the team that said absolutely no luck whatsoever. And I know we'll talk about Graeme Alexander, but I really think that's part of his frustration. If you look right back to the very first game at St Mirren, they get a penalty for that clearly was their penalty. Rangers goal, if it had VAR, the likelihood would have been offside. The Celtic one that was dubious, it could have went either way with the penalties. We've had so many decisions going against us, and I hate to harp on about the refereeing decisions, but I generally think that's why Graeme Alexander is getting so frustrated.
Okay, that brings us on nicely. The manager sent off pretty bad timing, as far as I'm concerned. We're talking the 93rd minute that he was sent off against Hibs on Saturday. It was after the award of a corner, which looked debatable, at least to be fair to him, but he's now been sent off on a few occasions, yellow carded as well, and it looks like his card's very much marked. It was a very amusing post-match interview where he refused to answer Brian McLaughlin from the BBC's questions about the red card. A part of that for me was shifting the focus back onto the players who had been given a real kicking in weeks prior, so they certainly deserved a lot of praise for a fantastic performance and a fantastic result. But it also got people in turn talking about the interview and then talking about what some perceive as a disciplinary issue for the manager. Now, he's in his first role in Scottish football. We all know Scottish officials all too well and how overbearing and over the top they can be. But I don't know who I would compare it to from recent times. I kind of think back to managers like Kenny Shields, for instance, who he had a much more outspoken nature than Graeme Alexander appears to have. But once he had fallen foul to the officials on two or three occasions, it really kind of felt like any time that he put a toenail out of line, then he was really going to fall foul of harsh punishment. Is that the way that it looks like going for Graeme Alexander? For me, I think there's every possibility, if he doesn't get smartened up or takes it upon himself to kind of to smarten up his conduct, or at least just modify it to avoid these scenarios coming up all too frequently.
Yeah, I think it's the obvious kind of one. The parallel that immediately springs to mind is actually Jim Gannon, who had no respect whatsoever for the kind of Scottish officialdom, and it kind of looks as if it's kind of going down has the potential to go down a similar route with Alexander. And you may argue that there's justification there, certainly, but we kind of know how it works in Scotland. You get up the nosy one referee, and these guys talk, they meet, look out for such and such, look out for this one, keep an eye on that, and there appears like no leeway being given, whereas in other situations that we see comparably, that you know, leeway is given, things are overlooked, ignored, and he's quite quickly going to find himself in a kind of disciplinary situation, it would seem, if things kind of continue as they are, however harsh that may be. A lot of sympathy for him, but you have to be aware of the kind of lie of the land, and there has to be, somebody has to have like a quiet word and say, look, you know, appreciate this might be nonsensical compared to what you're used to potentially, but this is what you need to do in these parts, and Tully kind of goes down and things settle down and you can maybe get away with it a wee bit more. But having those kind of spate of instances in quick succession is, as I'm sure, made himself well known to the officials in SFA.
Do you know my take on it that influences it is the fact that there's no fans in the stadium that you can hear. He's one of the very few. He's got such a distinctive deep shout. I can actually really hear him on the even the footage on the streams. You can pick up his voice so clearly, and there isn't a lot of managers that you can, when you hear the shouts, you can't define who they are. But you can definitely define Alexander's voice. So I think all the referees, the linesmen, the fourth officials, etc., can hear it a lot more clearly because there isn't any fans in the grounds, and he's obviously going to have his nut in the touchline. If there's a crowd there, I think it's his shouting is shielded ever so slightly, and I'm not using that as an excuse, because at the end of the day, he does need to toe the line, he does maybe need to just bite his tongue, but listen, he did give a good interview, but what would we be saying just now if we hadn't been out and beat Hibs, and he'd been sent off again, and he gave that interview? It's a hypothetical point that I'm trying to make, but what I'm saying is, the victory certainly helped, because I think we would all be saying, is he the right man for the job, is he the right frame, is there problems behind the scenes? Now, because we've had this positive result, we're all high-fiving one another, but I think it could have been completely different if we hadn't got that victory.
Yeah, and I think the same actually goes for some of the new signings. I've already mentioned the fact that Jordan Roberts was excellent against Hibs. It was much better against St Mirren as well. You've suddenly got some of these new faces are beginning to make a wee bit of an impact. Now, there's still major question marks over the likes of Sam Foley, Eddie Nolan, to a lesser extent Harry Smith, who got a couple of sniffs before sustaining an injury and now has been sidelined as a result. Stevie Lawless came back into the fray against Hibs and came off the bench. A lot of the January transfer incomings have been somewhat conspicuous by their absence. But again, it's amazing how much a positive week can change the landscape, because from question marks being asked about the manager, now I think it would be absolutely ludicrous to start suggesting after what a month and a couple of weeks as it was with the Accies game and a wee bit longer for the St Johnstone game at the helm, that you suddenly replace the manager and make wholesale changes. But the January window, I still think as we look at it just now, wasn't a great success, and it may mean that come the summer there's going to have to be drastic upheaval when you combine that certainly with contracts expiring as well. But all that being said, you get the winning Saturday, you move 8 points clear of the foot of the table. Things do look a lot more optimistic, and the manager's now got a wee bit of goodwill to play with. And not only that, I actually think that interview endeared himself to quite a lot of the supporters, and maybe showed off a wee bit of his personality that we've not yet been able to see. So while we don't want the manager being hauled up in front of the Scottish football authorities on a weekly basis or a fortnightly basis, it might actually be something that wins over the fans a wee bit, because certainly, and I'm only going in social media and kind of speaking to various people over the last couple of days, but more seem to find it a positive thing than a negative.
Just one thing that I'll say is, when you look at the, we're talking about Alexander's passion, his drive, he's kind of a different interview technique. The other manager that was in the frame is Tommy Wright, who every time you see him looks as if he's either going to a funeral or coming out of a funeral. At the moment, it certainly appears to be, he's a likeable guy. And when you compare it to me, what Tommy Wright's like, I'm quite happy with it for Graham Alexander at the moment.
I think in the kind of January window, I don't see any kind of massive kind of long term looking in any or many of those signings. I think they were not so much gambles in some respect, but I think a lot of them are there to do a job for a specific period of time. I don't necessarily think, you know, what was it? How many did we sign in loan? Roberts was in loan. McGlaw, he was in loan. You know, I think I can't even remember whether Crawford is an extension of the loan or whether it was a kind of permanent sign. And obviously we've got Kelly in loan. So I think there's a large extent there. I think Lawless was a permanent one. But, you know, to some degree, that a lot of it is only going to be its kind of short-termism to get to the conclusion of this season, hopefully with a positive outcome. And then I think it's a chance to reshape the squad. I think it's kind of changed in many respects as well. Like there was you kind of look down and there's the kind of debates that go on online or the questions asked, like how many have we got under contract, and oh, it's panic wheel, panic, go horrendous, we've only got 6 players under contract for next season. But it's not dissimilar for that to kind of come around, if not every season, every second season. And there's clearly pluses and minuses with that. In a situation like this, where you've got a new manager that's in charge, the ability to completely gut a squad, if he so wishes, is got to be a positive in terms of his perspective, rather than walking into a situation where he might not like what he's got to work with, and you know, numerous players are tied into 2 and 3 year contracts, and it does give that certain amount of leeway for amending a squad. And I don't think it's quite the kind of traumatic thing as it might have been seen as maybe 10 seasons ago. I think it's the same with the kind of change in the kind of balance of power with players, and we kind of see that in some respects, allegedly, inverted commas, with the Gallagher's contract situation. We see that, you know, we know that the club have been keen to tie down Alan Campbell, but realistically it's unlikely to happen. But, you know, contract offers have been made, and, you know, the clock ticks down in his contract, to use two examples. And, you know, those guys are quite rightly going to, if they're in that situation, they're going to wait and see what interest there is, whether they can further their careers, whether they can, you know, make the moves that's going to secure their families' lives for however many years or decades further down the line. So they're kind of entitled to do that from their perspective, but it kind of gives the club an opportunity to reshape it. And I think more and more clubs are in the same boat, that you know, you do well if you go through a kind of close season where there aren't numerous kind of comings and goings. I think you've kind of summed up the kind of change in mood quite well. The kind of interview, the feeling that he's kind of one of us, that there's a connection there, that somebody is vocal and quite visibly demonstrating his desire to do well for the club can only be a good thing. I think we all would like to see that the folk that are working for the club, be that on the park or off the park, are emotionally invested in it. And I think there's no question that you know, Alexander certainly is, from what we've seen thus far.
Let's go on and look at Livingston on Saturday. Pepe, Sandy's already mentioned that he was kind of disappointed after full time on Saturday that we didn't have a game midweek, and we seem to actually perform very well. The results have been excellent in the midweek games for the majority of this year. The challenge is pretty clear. Livingston will have had Rangers at Allen Vale prior to coming to Fir Park on Saturday. They've struggled in the league a wee bit of late. They lost two games and then they followed that up with a draw against St Mirren. They obviously lost the cup final against St Johnston yesterday. So for the first time under the leadership of David Martindale, they're beginning to show a few signs of vulnerability. They obviously had an incredible run out of 14 games without defeat when Martindale came into the post when he took over from Gary Holt. That all being said, it's a home fixture. A home fixture against Livingston is one that I think the majority of us would, if not expect to win, would certainly hope to win. And on the back of such a good performance against Hibs, there's no reason why we can't take that momentum into this home fixture, get a positive result at Fir Park for the first time on a Saturday since God knows when, and then kick on in the remaining six games to ensure our safety and another year in the top flight.
Fully expect us to dig in on Saturday and get a victory. I don't see any other result at all, to be honest. I think Livingston have had their wee spell of, it was an excellent spell for them. You just couldn't see where the victory was coming from, but they seem to do it every single week. And I think we're now just getting to the stage that confidence is high. Livingston's season, they're going to be in the top six. They've lost a cup final. I'm not saying that the game's not important to them, because clearly every game's important, but I think it still means more to us, and I think there'll be a desire to win more and continue in the best performance of the season without a shadow of a doubt, and going forward. What I think as well is positive, like for example on Saturday, when you could clearly see that Robertson and Watt were absolutely knackered, the caliber of player that could be brought on. I had actually forgot about Stephen Lawless, that was on the bench. And him coming on, all right, he didn't do too much, but he looked as if he'll be a handy addition, a great squad player, and potentially going to be a first team pick when he's fully fit. You've got Chris Long coming back, and if we start to get, we've been speaking about these signings, the likes of Sam Foley coming back, Harry Smith, all right, again, he's not really done that much for his game, but I think maybe he offers that something that wee bit different. Hopefully he'll be back. I'm saying hopefully. He hasn't set the head on fire, but if he's back, it's another option. It's virtually what I'm saying. I feel expected to go out and win. The interesting thing for me is Declan Gallagher will be back. He'll have had a full week's training. Do you take the gamble? Do you put Gallagher back in? Am I going to contradict myself and say you stick with Lamy and McGlure? Because I'm kind of contradicting what I said about Stephen O'Donnell. Can you really afford to change that partnership when we've had two clean sheets? And when Gallagher come on, all right, it was one wee mistake and Liam Kelly pulled us out. But does that get taken into account? I don't know. I'll be really, really intrigued to see what the starting team is on Saturday. I wouldn't be surprised if Gallagher's in, but I'm 50-50. I really don't know. And that's what's good, because a couple of weeks ago, if you go back to the St Johnston game, the team picked itself, but now we're starting to get that wee bit of, the injuries are starting to ease slightly. Still got a massive injury crisis, But you've got positions up for grabs. You've got Polworth sitting on the bench. You've got, I've not even mentioned Jake Casty. Nathan McGinley put a great performance in. I would say that Jake Carroll's not been brilliant for a comeback. Did Nathan McGinley do? So for me, I look forward to that kind of quarter to two mark on a Saturday to see what the team is. So I think if the three of us went on and picked our starting 11, the three of us would pick a different 11. And I think that's a good positive thing. But the main decision for me is, do you bring back in the captain? Personally speaking, I think he will, and I think it'll probably be McGlure that will drop out. The only other option he's got is going back to the back five, I would call it, rather than a back three. Well, I suppose it is a back three with the wing backs. But who knows? There's so many different options now. I say so many, more than what we had a couple of weeks ago. And that adds to the competition for places, which I think maybe adds a couple of percent to the players' performances.
Yeah, just as we head to wrap up, a quick thanks to everyone that got back in touch following the last episode of the podcast. It appears that some of my ranting amused quite a lot of people. Rob Bryson and Craig especially made a point of getting in touch with me to let them know how much they could stop laughing, basically, as they listened to me just rambling like a lunatic for 10 minutes over the participation in games of Call of Duty and FIFA online. So this has continued to rumble. And certainly, I think that my points were a bit more educated than some of the ones I've seen online in the last couple of weeks. But I was happy to be shot down on it. And I'm glad that the players reacted so well to my rant as well, by good on.
You're not trying to take credit for the Hibs game because you said that
entirely. Are we
actually had folk messaging me that I know as well that's listening to the podcast saying that it doesn't bother me if the players play Call of Duty or whatever. I'm older than you. I thought you'd have been done with the kids and been happy for all that streaming carry on and. I don't even know. Is it just that they go on and play the game and folk watch? Is that what it is?
I think that's what it is. And to be fair, I never wanted it to cease. I just wanted it to not be thrown in my face after we've lost 4-1 to Hamilton Accies.
So I'll ask you a question then, right? So what would have happened if Tony Watt and Derek and Gallagher had went on at 7 o'clock? I don't know if they did or not, on Saturday. Would that have been all right?
Aye, 5 hours they were allowed.
But what difference does it make if you win or get beat if you play Call of Duty?
No, but the thing is, I don't really need to know. I'm sitting on Twitter pissed off wanting to moan about something and they give me the perfect ammunition to do so.
Well, don't you do then. Turn your phone off and go and watch your reruns of Catchphrase.
It's new episodes, mate.
Oh, is it? Is Roy Walker not doing it anymore?
No, unfortunately not. I think he's past retirement age, but Stephen Mulhern's come in and he's done a good job. What were we talking about? See, this is...
You're going on about Call of Duty again. You've got a wee this wee obsession with streaming or no, anti-streaming.
I think he's angling for a personal invite.
It's a publicity, but I did think
Up to Decky's new garage once lockdown's finished.
When I did think it was a bit ridiculous that he was still wearing his gaming headset when he came off the bench and sat. it's certainly in terms of posting about it after a heavy defeat, doesn't feel great, but they've certainly turned it around. And also, I answered that. A couple of the conspiracy theorists that Declan Gallagher would never play for the club again and the clause in the contract and everything else when he came off the bench on Saturday, that certainly put that one to bed. So hopefully he can now move on, he can get back to full fitness. I think it came as a bit of a surprise that he was named on the bench, never mind came on against Hibs. But that certainly puts that one to bed and we can move on to the end of
seemingly,
the season.
Seemingly he had a t-shirt made up that said, "I'll stream if I want to, Andy, if he had scored."
That's absolutely up to him. I'm not anti-streaming. That's my new tagline.
Anti-streamer.
it's a new craze. Right. Last word's going to you. It's been a few weeks since we've mentioned M&M Joinery, the sponsors of the podcast for the next year. We're very, very grateful for the sponsorship that pays for the hosting costs for the podcast for the next season. So you can listen to me talking about my dislike for Call of Duty. Pepe, a good friend of yours, would you mind just giving a wee shout out, please?
I see he's a good friend. I heard from him for a while because he's in mourning because he spent a fortune in painting our row flags and stuff like that. He's a Celtic fan, so I've not heard from him. But I was actually in the house doing a wee bit of emergency repairs tonight. So as I said, all if you go into the website, the website's on the NFC podcast website and comes highly recommended. I don't know if he likes streaming or not. I'll need to ask him. See if he can join your anti-streaming gang.
I absolutely understand why he doesn't talk to you. Full of shite. Anyway, guys, that's been a very entertaining episode. Thank God we won on Saturday and we've been able to talk with a bit of positivity because it was all gearing up to be a very, very depressing episode. We also did an episode with a gentleman based in Ukraine on A Guide to Motherwell a couple of weeks ago now. That's been released and we'll retweet that link. But the host of that show got in touch to say that over 3,000 people have listened to that particular podcast. So if you're one of those, thank you very much for listening to it. And Andy and Scott are also featuring on a 1991 podcast in the next couple of weeks as well. And of course we will stick up the link when that is released. But for now, guys, thanks very much.
No props. Pleasure as always.
Thanks, Andy. I'm away for a game of Super Mario Brothers, if that's still a thing.
Super Mario will never die. You've been listening to the MSC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. No, we won't. We'll be back. We might be back next Monday. We'll be back after the Livingston game anyway. Until then, thank you. Goodbye.